Off the ball, GAA.
In our setup, it's the next man up. If things don't maybe run your way on a championship day or any day for that matter, the competition is really good.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Yes, you are welcome to the LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle here with you again. St. Patrick's Athletic are back at the summit. Let's listen back to what happened on Off the Ball last Friday.
They definitely have a team capable of putting up the Shamrock Rovers, but I just wonder about the depth of the St. Patrick's Athletic squad. And I would imagine that Stephen Kenny would like to get a couple of players in, maybe in the summer transfer window. But to lose like that when you had a chance to go toe-to-toe with the champions a couple of weeks ago, they'd be really disappointed with that. I think this is a really big game for Bohemians, because if they were to lose this, lose three in the trot, you know, I'm not going to say Alan Reynolds is going to be under pressure, but the supporters definitely won't be happy with him. And I think Bohemians really need to win this game tonight.
And it is time for another huge night of live League of Ireland action. Shamrock Rovers have the chance to power on at the top of the table up in Derry, but we're locked in on the Dublin Derby at Richmond Park. It is St. Pat's against Bohemians, and your commentary team is Richie Towell and first Stephen Doyle.
Ross Tierney goes back to his goalkeeper Casper Haraska, and he knocks it long up for James Taylor, knocks it down. What's a good run here for Strauss? Has a shot.
Oh my goodness,
Bohemians.
I don't believe it.
Absolutely incredible. Bohemians have taken the lead.
Bagley, he's trying to get around Pat Hickey, does put a ball into the box, and it was a dangerously low ball. Sam Todd was down on his knees heading that away. It's cleared up to Dale Rooney, but he loses possession there. And there's a shot from the edge of the box, and it's Edmondson with the goal for St. Patrick's Athletic. They've got an equaliser. Game back in play here. It's out with El Bazzetti. Nice pass out from Bagley. El Bazzetti, oh, it's a lovely ball to two defenders there for Keane Levy to pull it back from the end line. Oh, Todd gets the block, comes out to Lennon. It's a goal for St. Patrick's Athletic. Jamie Lennon flying in there. He got the layoff.
It has been a brilliant game here at Richmond Park tonight, Owen. At half-time, it is St. Patrick's Athletic 2, Bohemians 1. With the corner kick, flicked onto the front post, and it's another goal for St. Pat's. And it's Ryan Edmondson at the back post. A brilliant move from the corner kick. But tonight, it has finished here. 3 points going to St. Patrick's Athletic, who, as it stands, are top of the Premier Division.
We've been here before. I would say, you know, we're just having a bad spell. We had a great spell at the start of the season. We didn't get ahead of ourselves. Now we just need to stick together and you know, focus on next week. There's a lot of young players in there and they're getting to see that it's not easy to play for Bows.
Barry Bagley gave an exhibition in recovering tackling,
yeah,
where his speed over the ground to actually, he looks second best, like to be behind the player to actually run so quickly and retrieve the ball with the outside of his left foot to it's a sort of art, isn't it? Very, yeah, skill. What a brilliant. And certainly Jamie in the position was very influential, and Kane's just a joy, isn't he? Kane Levy's just a joy to watch, isn't he, every time he gets on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen Kenny there speaking about his wonderful midfield trio's performance on Friday night as they beat Bohemians by 3-1. So after the weekend's result, the Hoops are second, just ahead of Dundalk and third. Then it's Bows being chased by Derry City in the top half of the table. Galway United's in sixth with Sligo Rovers a point behind them. Shelburne are eighth with Drogheda United level on points with them. And Waterford bottom. This week, our feature match on Off the Ball this Friday night is Bohemians versus Derry City at Dalymount Park. Phil Egan will be on commentary duty there alongside Keith Tracy. But I'm delighted, as ever, to be joined this week by Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn. Lads, you are watching the action up at Celtic Park between Shamrock Rovers and Derry City. Of course, Derry City getting a really big win. And it's, you know, predictably unpredictable in this league, isn't it, Gareth?
Yeah, I was just saying that to Vinny before we started. I mean, if Derry were the one on Friday night to go level with Bows on points, it's crazy stuff. Obviously undefeated in four, but and then obviously Sligo are 3-1 in a row. Just you can't predict it. You really can't, but it's exciting. That's the main thing.
Yep. What did you make of the Celtic Park first match, Vinny? I know the pitch wasn't great, and look, everybody's been given out about it and whatever. Look, that's just the way it is. They got to play there, but as an occasion, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant occasion. You have to give it huge plaudits to Derry City. The way they made it an event in itself is a lesson as well. You just don't take stuff for granted, and if you push things, you can get more people in. So look, the only person that didn't really complain about the pitch was Stephen Bradley, to be fair. He accepted it is what it is. I thought he used a great line, like, Derry are doing this for the betterment of their own club and I think the league eventually, but, you know, the changes they're making to the Brandywell. So it is what it is. It's a few weeks of pain for a long-term gain. So huge credit to people in Derry for what they're doing and the investment they're making in the ground. So it took away from the match a little bit in terms of quality play that Rovers would have liked in certain things. But that aside, I thought Derry were excellent and lots of learnings in that, I hope, for their manager.
Yeah, we'll come to their game in a good time. Just to let everybody know, as usual, LOI Late Night will be on this Friday night on X from, if you jump on the Off The Ball X channel, from 10 o'clock. To have your say about your team with Shane Keegan and the lads, then on Saturday morning in your podcast feed, do look out for Off The Ball's LOI wrap-up. Ross Flanagan will have all the post-match reaction and review of the action on Friday night. I know our feature match is Bows versus Derry. We normally kick off with that. We'll come to that in a moment. I just think there's a really interesting game, I feel, happening up in Oriel Park. Dundalk against Shelburne, of course. Dundalk getting beaten by Sligo Rovers last weekend. One of those unpredictable results, maybe, for a lot of people. And Shelburne really are struggling still under Joey O'Brien. Just, I want to ask you, Vinny, from a tactical perspective, I'm sure we all got to see that game. I was watching it on Saturday night because it was on Saturday night, which is always good when Sligo Rovers play at the weekend. Is there anything from from Sligo Rovers' performance against Dundalk that you think Shelburne could take from it?
That's an interesting question, Stephen, because my initial thought is Dundalk are going to struggle in a few games like this, and Dundalk might lose two or three, but I think ultimately they'll be fine because of the quality they have. I think Dundalk are overachieving at the moment. So if I was Shells, I would have looked at that game and say, you know, a good start against a team like Dundalk is pivotal. If you give them the lead, I think you've got a huge chance against them. Arubi was was so well marshalled by Sligo, and he's been a real, real threat. So I would say you wonder about Dundalk's team selection, and you mightn't see that again. Like McDade, Owen Kenny, Horgan in the team, Arubi, all of those attacking players in a difficult away game, you wonder whether that was the right decision. We did see Dervin come in from McDade, Fargo, and say, who had a wonderful week the week before. So I wouldn't be shocked if Shells went up to Dundalk and won, but at the same time, Shells aren't in good form. So there's a lot, the key learnings for Shelburne will be a good start. Now, they've had a lot of them and thrown away leads, but don't want to give this Dundalk a head start. And in Oriel, it feels like they're growing in confidence every week. So, yeah, it's a big, big game for Shelburne.
Yeah, it was interesting because I know, like, McDade was probably, Bobby Burns dropping back into a full-back position. He's been doing his best stuff, I think, in central midfield almost this season, even though it's not his regular position. I don't know, what did you make of Sligo Rovers and how they put it up to Dundalk at the weekend, Gareth?
Yeah, it was a good game. I thought Sligo weren't full value for their victory. I mean, the 2-0 probably just doesn't tell the right story at all. I mean, if you went away and talked to the Dundalk players and the Sligo players, they will turn around and go, that was a tight game. Like, Dundalk played well. And that's the thing that I've really enjoyed about Dundalk this year. To me, they're probably been the most consistent team in the league this season. They have been consistently good. They haven't lost by many goals. That 2-0 doesn't kind of tell a story. They were in this game, they had a couple of chances, and it could have been very different. I mean, you've got Bobby Burns playing centre midfield, who's been playing well there. He's been playing left back, right back. You've got McDade at right back, not his natural position. And then you've got the rest of the players that were pretty similar. Warren Wilson, Kenny Horgan, and Horgan's playing really well. So I wouldn't be too worried. I just think Dundalk's performances have been so consistent that these sort of results wouldn't worry me at all. I mean, I have no bother that they'll go home now against Shells put in the same sort of performance and could easily come away with a victory or a draw. I don't see Shelburne go down there and run away with, considering how poorly they're playing at the minute and how many goals they're conceding. I think the likes of Tehan, Kenny, Horgan, Aruba, they'll be licking their lips to play against that Shells defence come Friday night.
Yeah, that's the key, Stephen. I just wonder, will we see the four attacking players now that they're home, McDaid, Kenny Horgan and Aruba, or will we see Dundalk doing what they do very well, like the fundamentals, and work harder at the opposition? Will we see like Dervin coming back in, and Buckley, them type of players in the two sixes? That'll be the interesting part for me, because when you go away to Sligo, that's a big lesson for Kieran Condough. He's done it his way since they've been promoted, and it's worked. They've gone toe to toe with people. They've been really brave. They haven't set in, and that's paid off for them. But sometimes you've got to get that balance just right. And Sligo exploited them, but Gareth's right, there wasn't a lot in the game.
Harry Groom coming on after 65 minutes, he changed the game. The momentum of the game was pretty even until then. Once he came on, he got a grip set. He was very, very good. I mean, if you get him back in the middle of the park along with Dervin on Friday night, now remember, you've got to go Friday, Monday, and this is the test for a team that's come up out of the first division. Whenever these games start coming thick and fast, you've got to kind of be creative with the likes of McDaid right back and Burns in the centre. I think with the two boys back, that structure and team looks a lot stronger. I hope they're okay and ready to fit in the midfield. They'll look stronger against Shields, I think.
Yeah, and their two previous bank holiday weekends have gone well so far with the back-to-back wins. So I'm sure they will be hopeful of doing something similar. I did want to mention Daryl Horgan as well, obviously, Vinny, because you know him so well. Like, it's 2016 since he was playing with Dundalk and absolutely killing it before he went across the channel. He's been capped by Ireland and everything since then. Like, has there been much of a drop-off from the Daryl Horgan from then, 2016, to now? Because I look at him now and he's still got that kind of voracious appetite for getting on the ball, trying to beat a man, trying to get across. And he looks like the same Daryl Horgan as 2016, but like, what have you made of him?
I knew him so well in 16 in terms of, so for them a couple of years I worked with him. Remember after training, like, Horgs was a nightmare. Like, he just wouldn't stop. You have to drag him off the training ground. Genuinely, and you throw them sort of lines out about a lot of people, but he used to practice the one where I'd be standing just inside the corner of the box off the left-hand side where he'd roll it to me, and he'd have to bend it into the top corner. And he wouldn't stop till he got one into the top corner. And then when he got one into the top corner, he'd go, yeah, just one more, you know, non-stop. Like, so always working at his game. Daryl is one of them players, you know, sometimes he looks really, really tired, but he just keeps going. I imagine the certain amount of his engine has dropped off a little bit. But that aside, I mean, I got back to it. A brilliant goal that Ruby scored against Galway, if people remember a few weeks back, where Horgan had crossed a couple of times with his right foot. Okay, so he loves that little dink, or a little check, goes onto his right foot and crosses it. And then down in Galway, he's in a little spot. He checks the cross with that right foot, takes it onto his left, whips it to the front post, and a Ruby scores, right? So if you imagine yourself as a defender, you start to get to know a player and think, this is what he's coming inside, onto his right. But the ability to do that off your left all of a sudden and at such pace is huge. So, look, Horgs is one of the most sort of dedicated players I've ever worked with. He's just a brilliant person. He seems to love Dundalk. He sort of settled in the dock. His kids were rare there. When Daryl was away, his kids used to come home last summer and he used to do the camps there. They'd be in their full Dundalk kit, all of that stuff. So he's well and truly connected to that community. I know his roots are in Galway, but Horgs is just one of the good guys in football. Like, you never get an ounce of trouble out of Horgs. And If Daryl was out late one night, you'd nearly be laughing. You know, one of them players, you'd laugh as opposed to be be cranky with him because it was so didn't happen that often. But just a great football person, and the work he's put in, he's got the rewards, like, and he's been hugely successful. It's sort of not that I played a part in it, but it's when you look at people like whether it's been Horgs over the years, the Richie Towels, them lads, Andy Boyles went on, got caps or made it in England. It fills you with a little bit of pride to say you worked with someone like Horgs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's definitely worth paying money to see, even if you don't follow Dundalk. I think he's playing some brilliant stuff, and he's just one of those exciting players. It's always good to see him on the pitch. Moving on to Dundalk.
Sorry, Steve, the interesting thing about Horgs real quick is some people in Dundalk have, in one sense, at that time, I don't mean because Michael Duffy came in and was so good, they nearly forgot how good Horgs was, if that makes sense. And I don't mean they think that in a disrespectful way. But when Horgs went out, Michael came in and was just, he was just as good as Horgs, and all the same attributes as Horgs. But people forget how good he was. Like that great Dundalk team of 2016, the Europa League, you know, going toe-to-toe with the likes of Zenit St. Petersburg, winning points in that competition. Horgs was right middle centre of that, and are probably our best preferred player in a lot of those group games.
Well, they'll be hoping he could do something magic against Shelburne this Friday night. Gareth, like I was listening to LOI Late Night on Friday, just gone after the Pats Bowes match I was working on, and there was one regular Shells man who always calls in, and he was talking about wanting to get Joey moved on, Joey O'Brien. With their recent run, like, it hasn't been good for Shells over the last number of weeks. There are four defeats now in a row. Considering what he did last year, they were a bit of a rabble, the team, when Joey took over from Damien Duff. He got them through the Champions League. They went through the Champions League, the Champions route through the European qualifying, got them into the group phase of European competition for the first time. They qualified for Europe, even though that wasn't guaranteed midway and even late in the season. Like, is this just madness when you hear talk now of supporters wanting to see him moved on?
Yeah, it's just society, isn't it, Steve? It's what people expect. They want instant success. And when you look at the league, how packed it is, and two wins or three wins, and he's sitting up in third or fourth, you know what I mean? That's what it's like. I think it's very, very premature. I think Joey's got enough credit in the bank. I've been trying to figure out, having watched them recently live and watched the Drogheda match, and trying to figure out what is going wrong. One thing I did notice as well, just watching them live, is, like, everybody keeps talking about these goals that they keep conceding, how sloppy they are. You look at their defenders, they've got good defenders, right? Sometimes you can just, those goals just happen to drop. I mean, the two Derry goals, the ball's dropped, they scored. The other one's a block and it's landed, the deep one scores. So you can't legislate for some of that. But one thing I noticed is, under Damien Duff, they were unbelievably intense in the middle of the park. Really, really, really intense. So no player really could get time to pick up their head and pick a pass and put it in behind the defence, or pick a cross and put the cross in without being challenged. There's been a lot of that, and they seem to be playing in patches. There was 20 minutes when I watched them against Derry, they were incredible. And again, for a period against Drogheda in the first half, they were incredible. But they can't seem to put a 90 minutes together. And then the intensity drops. So when they're not brilliant, especially in the middle of the park, and remember, they always play with five, at least in the middle of the park, whether it's a box or three at the back or four at the back, in the middle of the park, they should never be outnumbered or should never have pressure on the ball. But it just doesn't seem to be there. There seems to be too many easy crosses, too many easy passes through them, and the intensity doesn't seem to be there. And it's not the defenders or the keeper. The keeper's excellent. I know Vinny likes him a lot. It seems to be in front of them, the intensity just doesn't seem to be there. We know John Martin works his socks off. He does his best in between the two centre halves. I just don't see the ugly side of the midfielders enough in that Shells team right now. And I think that is leading to a lot of the goals. Do you like think about Mark Coyle? That's what he was incredible at. He was incredibly disciplined, just sitting in front of the back four, putting out fires, not letting balls come through. So that's the only thing I can see. But when you look at the squad and the investment and the players that they have, They should have no bother scoring goals. It's just that work rate and kind of getting that balance between being creative, keeping the ball, when you lose the ball, being nice and tight and solid so the other teams can't play through you.
You're nodding in agreement there, Vinny. And I think what Garrett's saying kind of would, I suppose, echo almost what Damien Duff was saying on Virgin Media a couple of weeks ago, that the players aren't, they're letting the manager down a bit.
Yeah, well, sorry, Vinny, just before that, I remember I was at Damien Duff's, one of his last games, and I've never, ever seen a manager talk as much in the sideline. He literally had, from minute one to the end of the match, he had shouted at his players to keep them on game, on point, the intensity up. And I'm sure that gets tiring as well. Joey doesn't seem to be that sort of vocal one. So if he's not doing it, then the players have no accountability. So it has to come from the players themselves, the senior players, to be able to hold each other accountable, whether communicating or demanding, and being infectious.
Yeah, what's fascinating, I don't have a tactics board with me, Steve-O, at the moment, in the book me car. When Shell started on the biggest run under Duffer, okay, they were a 4-3-3 team. And it was a really narrow midfield. Mark Coyle would be in the centre of it, and you'd have different versions. So there was times you might have had an attacking player in that midfield three. And if you remember, someone like Jack Moylan was one of the front three, and sometimes he'd be in the middle three. So they were a narrow 4-3-3. So if you picture the ball going to a right back, okay, at the moment, what would happen is if that pass beat the press of the front three, one of the midfield three would shift out on, so whoever was on the left-hand side would shift out onto the right-hand side, and the two, Mark Coyle would pivot over and the one beside him would pivot over, okay? And it was so hard to break them down. But that was also done, Gareth Roy, with intensity. And that's more or less, for me, how they won the league. They were so definite in their style and the patterns of play, okay? I must send you the clip. I might have an old clip of that, Steve, of how it works with drawings on it, right? But it was, that was what you were built on. They came away from that a little bit and they tried to involve, and that has been with back fours and back fives. Harry Wood and Will Jarvis are outstanding footballers. But if they're in your front three, you're not really going to have a high-intensity press. So you compare Jack Moylan, say, to Harry Wood and Will Jarvis. Well, Jarvis will do a certain amount of that, but Moylan will give you that intensity. And then when you look about involved, when you lose Mark Coyle out of your midfield, then your team has to involve, to be fair to Joe, and you add in Henry Francis, who is capable of working hard, but that's adding a little bit more guile and passing and sort of higher quality footballer. Unfortunately, sorry, Mark Coyle, if you're listening, but the Mark Coyle. So there's yin and yang about how they're changing. So while I understand Duffer's point on TV the other day, I understand that it's not all at Joey's door, but it's certainly not all at the player's door. And you've got to find a balance with this. And I just think the structure of the team, they've tried to evolve, and I get that. I don't think you can stand still forever. But the way they're evolving is made, they don't work as hard. And ultimately, the fundamentals of Shelbourne, start of the success under Duffer, was high intensity, hard working, in your face football team with quality added into it.
Yeah.
And now they're slightly different. So it is an interesting watch tactically to see the difference there.
And just briefly,
I think the whole frustrations from the fans are probably, they're watching the 20 minutes, the 25 minutes of how good they are and how good they can be. It's just that they're frustrated. Why can we not do that for the whole time? So that's where the whole, I don't know if Joey's the right man. Like, to me, Joey's the right man for the job. He just needs a little bit of time to get it right.
Yeah, and just briefly, Vinny, just because you said it's not entirely the player's fault. So if Joey and the coaching staff are partly at fault, is that down to a motivation thing or a tactical thing?
So it depends. So I'm not in the inner workings of the dressing room, okay?
Yeah,
so
that's fair.
And so I can't tell you. So it's a bit like playing under certain managers. If that manager comes in and shouts and roars at you, like gives out to you about your performances and the way you defend against set pieces, that has a place in football teams. That can take you to a level, Stephen, right? That sort of old school garage you've played under them. That old school, the fella that comes in.
Hairdryer treatment.
Hairdryer treatment has a place in football. And it can get you to a certain point. But if you want to have a very successful team over 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you can't have fellas going, am I next to get this? Okay, so there's a fine balance with it. Now, I'm not suggesting that's happening there. I'm just saying they flipped and flopped from where they're at a little bit tactically. And Joey will say, he might even say, sure, what is your man talking about? He might use the line that other people use about blah, blah, blah. Sure, he made the balls at that club and that club. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. He knows why he's doing it and why Duffer started to change to a back three at different stages. They know why they've done it. But it's not just motivation. It's a little bit around the message. They're making a huge amount of changes. Mm. We've had double subs. We've had subs before halftime. That was under Duffer. That was previous to Joey. And is this group now in need of something a little bit different? And I am the least old school person in the world when it comes to teams and groups and all that stuff. Trust me, I drink 2 or 3, 4 times a year. But maybe it's a night in the town sometimes with a team when you're in that. And I don't like saying that because, you know, drink responsibly, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's something a little bit different, Stephen, because they're playing well in different moments. Like you look at Spiel and goal, I really like him. I think last year probably the best keeper in the league. I understand why he didn't get goalkeeper of the year, but this year he's making mistakes that I didn't really associate with him. So all of these little things, there's something underlying, and Joey needs to find out what that is.
Okay, well, listen, we move on to Bowes Derry. We'll have to rattle through the rest, lads. We just thought it would be interesting. That game particularly stands out this weekend. You were both at the match at Celtic Park. Was with a view on that game as well, looking ahead to Bowes Derry, Gareth. Like, is this Derry team? And listen, I don't want to sound like I'm being critical of James McLean, but listen, we know he's got his injury problems now. He's got this chronic hip issue that he needs to get sorted out. It would be great to see him back playing to try and finish out the season. But has the team looked better without him in that midfield position, Gareth? Do you think?
No, I wouldn't say that. They just look, they were up for it the other night, by the way. That was the big difference. I've seen, a bit like Shells, I've seen Derry playing unbelievably poor for a lot of games, but structurally very sound defensively. But see the other night, tactics-wise, the manager got it perfectly. A weird, weird formation. He played 4-1-2-2-1. So it was four, we won Chester in front of that, 2 8s, 2 10s, and then Josh Thomas up front, and he just bombarded Shamrock Rovers. Tactically unbelievable. And I have to say, Shamrock Rovers tactically got it right as well. This whole thing about starting Burke, it was never a pitch. I didn't think he was even going to bring him on. I was actually very surprised that Noonan started, because Noonan's quite on the ground, they're technically a good player as well. I thought he should have started McGovern, but what a game. The intensity was incredible. It reminded me of games back when I played in the mid-2000s. It was just guts, thunder, no time in the ball. I remember Jack Byrne looking up one time and going, have Derry got an extra man on the pitch? It was just, he just kept getting hit. It was brilliant game to watch. But no, Derry with Winchester was brilliant. Stott, the spine of the team's looking a lot better again. Beach has been very good. Stott, Winchester's back now, and then you've got Clark actually starting to play well again. So that spine there is now coming together nicely. And then you're hoping Mickey Duffy can be back in a few weeks.
It was looking, Steve, yeah, go on, Vinny.
Sorry, I think it's important to make this point, right? And I've probably waffled too much about tactics on the podcast so already. But Derry with a back four and having your best players higher up the pitch, people say front foot, people played on the front foot. What does that mean? When you look at the chances a couple of chances Derry got, it's Clark broke onto the ball, drove into the box, got to the end line, if you remember the one, he pulls it back and sent it forward for Derry, ball a little bit behind him. That's front foot football for me. That's people at it going. When you play with a back five, wing backs, and there's nothing wrong with back five. I keep giving out, though. There's nothing wrong with it. But for a team like Derry, getting your best players in the best positions, okay? If you consider the goal he conceded away to Shells, Fleming's at the back post with his hand in the air, John Martin's in between him and the centre half, heads it 6-8 yards from goal, nobody marking him. There's a definite way of them defenders to play. And then having your Clark, I thought O'Reilly was exceptional. On TV, Gareth gave the man the match to Clark. Riley was just as good. When you think of Markey, when you think of Thomas, when you think of Michael Duffy, I know Michael's injured, mum, they've got so many good attacking players. Don't waste it by having a third man standing there holding another centre-half's hand for me.
Yeah. 100%. And what they did really well, aggression-wise, is they played four at the back, but the two fullbacks went and met Shamrock Rovers' two wingbacks. So once they got into an area, they went forward and almost left a two-on-two at the back. And that's why Stott was so good. It was almost Stott and Paddy, 2v2, against Noonan and Green most of the game. It was really brave, really intense. And then they had the extra man in midfield. But I keep saying this about Derry. Derry City have signed players to thrive in chaos. They haven't signed players to play like Shamrock Rovers or how Bowes play. They haven't got the players to play that. I know that the Derry City players mightn't like me saying this, but they have to play on chaos. So chaos is intensity and bringing it to the other team and playing with aggression going forward. That's my view.
And it's mad, isn't it? Because Tiernan Lynch, I really did fear for him over the last few weeks, but now all of a sudden he's gone four matches unbeaten, two draws, back-to-back wins. They're off to Daly Mount Park now, where they've got a really good record, as you know, Gareth. And I wonder how Bohemians will take on this Derry City team, because do you think Derry City will find it easy to defend against that Bowes team at the moment?
Yeah, I think if Derry City bring the same intensity. Now, don't get me wrong, I do think the whole occasion at Celtic Park, Derry City did an amazing job off the pitch. It was like a carnival atmosphere with a fan zone. So that fed into the players, and the players were on it, every one of them. I've never seen them like that, even under Tiernan. For 90 minutes, they were brilliant. If they bring that intensity, Bowes could find problems. The interesting thing for me about how Bowes set up is, who goes in a lot instead of Flores if he doesn't play? Is it Diallo or McDonald? I'll tell you what Rennie and Stephen are thinking. Do they want to try and control this game and try and break Derry down? Or do they want to go a wee bit more defensive and try and make it a set-piece game or a mistake or a moment of brilliance? Or are they going to go after Derry City? But if Derry City come with the type of energy that they had on Friday night, it's going to be a cracking game. As they always are, Steve, you know that.
Yeah, 100%. Looking ahead to one of the other games then, obviously that Bowes Derry game is on live and off the ball from 7 o'clock this Friday night. Phil Egan and Keith Tracy will be doing that one. Finney, looking ahead then to Drogheda United versus Sligo Rovers, just there's one kind of common player running through the last couple of results for Drogheda United, which haven't been all great, but they got that win that they needed against Shelburne. And I just wonder if Ryan Brennan is the key man here, because he was on the bench for four matches. He was a 1 minute sub for one of those, then played the full 90 minutes against Shells. That's the first time he's played a full 90 at this season. Do you think he could be the key man for them to make a proper bounce back? Not just his playing ability, but just...
It's certainly not just the playing ability, Steve. Yeah. And I don't mean that in a... Like, Ryan's had a brilliant career. He's still gone. But his legs are gone. I mean, we have to accept as we get older. Like, so if they're relying on Ryan Brennan to solve all the problems, then they have big problems. I don't think it's just that. But I think then... let me roll back as quick as I can on that comment. Because... what he's doing is he's a very... you need experienced players on your pitch, and you need to go back to basics when things aren't going well. And that's what Kev has done brilliantly with bringing Ryan into the team. I understand why there's times where you feel, I need to leave Ryan out and you need a bit more legs in your team and all of that stuff. But there's no doubt his experience and his know-how and when to get a little bit of treatment and all of that stuff has helped, and I think, look, he has been brilliant for them. He is brilliant for them at the moment. I don't think he's retired yet, and I'm not trying to retire him. But I think there's a combination of a few things. Drogheda are better than their current league position. They will pick up wins. And I think bringing them back in is certainly a help. But they've got a lot of quality and just need to stop. Like, they still concede the 3 goals. So you can't do that every week. You can't concede 3 goals and expect to score 4 every week. Just need to tighten up. Around the back, I'm sure Kevin is fuming with the goals they're conceding at the moment. Too many for Drogheda. So, but I should finish on Ryan Brennan. It has been an exceptional footballer and still is. But I think it's more the sum of the parts than just him going into that midfield. Because they've been good in the central midfield.
Yeah. And Will Fitzgerald, he's the man they got to watch, isn't he, Gareth? He's got a goal in each of his last 3. They've scored 2 in all of those matches. This guy is just sensational. Amazing that they kept him at the start of the season. And he's been a huge key to them getting 3 wins in a row.
Yeah, it's probably one of the only times that Russell was able to keep one of his key players. I mean, usually he loses them, and it's not his. It can't have a say in it. But he's able to convince him to stay. His deft touch at the weekend was exceptional. I mean, the ball just dropped in the middle of the park. How many times have you seen players just lash at that? He's just gone in, volleyed it over the keeper. Perfect weight on the ball. The defender can't get it. And it's just. Don't get me wrong. He's added goals now, and like a manager got me when I was 25 and said, "You're going to have to add more goals, or you're just going to be an average player." Once you add goals, the spotlight starts coming on it, and people look up to you, and you walk around with your chest out. But I mean, moving to McKeel, the left back as well, McKeel has made them a little bit more solid. When Fitzgerald was playing left back, he just wanted to go. So having him behind him has helped as well. So it's given him that license to go. But it's just his consistency and his mentality. That's his two biggest assets. I would love to look through his matches and see a match where he's dropped below 7.5, 8 out of 10. And as a manager, that must be unbelievable. Knowing that you've got a guy going in there, he's going to do all the right things, he's going to make the right decisions, and he's fully committed, and now he's adding goals. And he's going to be streaky like any midfielder or forward. He's going to keep this going as long as he can. But he's playing well. I would imagine the two players right now in this stage of the season that have really impressed me is Will Fitzgerald and Edmondson for Pats. The two of them have been exceptional.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Edmondson will be going up against Franz Piero when Galway take on St. Patrick's Athletic and the Shamrock Rovers against Waterford. Any quick thoughts when you were coming towards the end of those two matches in particular?
No, I'm going to sidestep the two of them and make it a little point if you don't mind, Steve-O.
Yeah, brief as you can.
Yeah, as quick as I can. I'm just going to say it's a big weekend for a lot of managers. I don't like talking about, I know we touched on Joey earlier on, it's the name of the game, unfortunately. Pressure comes with these roles. There's only 10 Premier Division clubs in the country. Therefore, not picking up results means you're going to be under a little bit of pressure, whether it's too early for the likes of Joey or Alan Reynolds and all of these people, or John Daly. That's the gig. We know that's what we sign up for. It's not nice. Some of their managers are losing sleep at the moment, but that's the job, unfortunately. It is difficult. So it's a huge weekend, Steve, for a lot of people. That Friday, Monday, there's a couple of them probably can't afford to lose both of them games. As much as it's sad, it's unfortunately, it's part of the game.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Lads, it's been brilliant. Thanks very much for all your contributions this week. Don't forget, Derry City away to Bohemians at Dalymount Park. You'll be there, Gareth, won't you?
Unfortunately, this is the first Dalymount Park clash I am missing in about 6 years.
Well, me and you will be there.
Yes, indeed. I'm not sure what block I'll be in, but I won't be working on it anyway, because Phil Egan is doing the commentary alongside Keith Tracy. So good luck to the lads on that one. And of course, LOI Late Night. Go to the Off the Ball X channel to have your say in your team from 10 o'clock Friday night about all the games. And then check out the LOI review of all things going on in the League of Ireland with Ross Flanagan from Saturday morning, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll chat to you next week.
iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.